The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the K4 Wins here in our Friday edition. I'm Tony Curry, along with Kai Gregory. Of course, he's done handicapping pretty much his entire life. We got Kip Kiefer down there in the bottom left-hand corner. Looked like he's just waking up.
I've been up a good 30 minutes.
It does not mean he's got the wife beater on. He's ready to go. We have Case Kiefer down there in the bottom right-hand corner. Did you even know what shirt you put on this morning? There you go.
It's a polo shirt. I must be an exclusive wife beater.
I'm sorry. The collar was a little stretched a little bit. It looked like maybe better days.
Yeah,
it has seen better days. Let's put it that way. It's all right, man. I'm still wearing the clothes I had on Tuesday.
Yeah, I have no wife to beat. Sorry.
There's your problem. We need one of those. And Case Kiefer, the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun, he joins us right there in the bottom. Do not email me based on what I just said there. Do not send any questions. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. I'm looking at the schedule here, and I'm going to jump right in because there are so many games to get into. This is when I look at the SEC and I go, man, this conference is just stacked from top to bottom.
What a day. It
really is. The lineup of games we have on ABC 3340 is the starting lineup that we go in tomorrow morning from 10:30, 11 o'clock. It's just mustard on top, man. It's unbelievable. We have three top 25 matchups on the SEC. The games we don't have SEC matchups, A&M against Arkansas, which is incredibly intriguing. We got a 7.5-point line there. You got Mississippi State and Florida, which is incredibly interesting there. You got Texas and Kentucky, who I got a huge play on, which is very, very interesting. Mizzou and Auburn, another game that's not a top 25. But even those matchups are fantastic. Case, licking your chops. And all the lines, man, it seems like they're getting really, really tight this time of the year going into week 8. What do you see in the SEC?
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned Tuesday, but one of the opening lines I loved and jump on, one of my biggest bet of the week was I laid 6.5 with Georgia. But I mean, now that's kind of back, that's into range now where I think it should be. That was the game that really jumped out to me from an SEC perspective. I will say I'm interested to see what happens with Florida. I don't know if you guys heard, but yesterday there were some unsubstantiated reports. I don't know if they're true, but it seems like it's real that this might be Billy Napier's last game, regardless.
Win or lose, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they're gonna give him the boot tomorrow. So that's always kind of interesting from a handicapping perspective. I don't have anything on that game. Actually, early in the week when Mississippi State pushed to 10, I decided to wait and see if I could get a 10.5, and it never got there. Ultimately, they took some money back, so I don't anticipate I'll have any money on it. But that's an interesting one if you are handicapping it, because I think a lot of times things like motivation and, oh, this team has to win, is way overblown and not something I bet off of. But I think for like one like this, you have to kind of decide, oh, would these guys rally around him? Is he still well-liked enough that they want to send him out with a win if they know the end is in sight? Or are they going to be like, screw this and mail it in? So I don't want that uncertainty. I'm not going to be on that game. But I think with the Billy Napier wrinkle, I'm interested to see how that one goes.
Well, only because it doesn't happen very often. But I wanted to mention the UAB Blazers, too. Do you give them any shot? We talked about this just last week about coaching changes in the middle of the season. It doesn't happen very, very often. When it does, do you hedge a little bit? Do you add a couple of half a points to a team perhaps changing with an interim coach and Alex Mortensen going on? Of course, the son of the late, great Chris Mortensen. Do you give him any shot against Memphis this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I don't give him any shot to win, no. But even with, I don't have it all in front of me. I do have that I made this game 21.5. It's 21.5. But usually, as I've talked about before, there just is a bump for the interim coach. So I usually do try to put a half point or a point adjustment in that. But even with that here, I still came out right on the number. Memphis has just been a covering machine this year. I've been on them a ton. So I'm not going to jump off now, but it would not shock me if UAB gives a spirited effort, because that's usually what we see when an interim coach comes in.
Memphis, one of only three teams in college football this year that are perfect against the spread. They are 6-0. And of course, the UAB Blazers, the only thing they can hang their hat on is their 5-1 over unders. That over under 68.5 last week, it opened at 72, went to 68.5. And by the way, it went over by 20 points. Yeah, I would expect Memphis was going to put some serious points up in the Battle of the Bones. And of course, this was supposed to be kind of a hoorah game. Having talked to Trent Dilfer before the season started, he was really looking forward to this Memphis game because this is the Battle of the Bones and somewhat of a a wonderful game for the UAB Blazers. Always one of the biggest games of the year down there, protective. So we'll see what happens, but he will not be on the sidelines for sure. Before we jump in, Louisville, Miami, I know we talked to Kai earlier. You're talking about you had a first play bet. I want to get that in before we forget, because that game's going off later on tonight. And of course, our first major matchup of the weekend, Louisville, Miami, what you got?
I love the way that Miami starts. They jump on people and overwhelm them early, in my opinion so far. And then they kind of coast in the second half. So I love Miami -7 in the first half. I think that's the definitely the way to go in this game. I personally still love them at 13.5, but not like I do first half, because Louisville may dink and dunk something there in the end come back with a late backdoor cover. But that UAB-Memphis game, UAB lost to FAU by 20. Memphis beat them by 30.
Yeah. There's no doubt. And FAU was a team that Trent Dilfer actually beat twice in his first 2 years. And that, having talked to Mark Ingram on Wednesday, we actually talked today early. We're going to have Alex Mortensen on our show, by the way, on our television show next week. He said, listen, the Army game I was done after the Army game and outside him winning by 20 against FAU. And he goes, well, he beat FAU twice already. You know, maybe we get a victory here and we're 3-3. Maybe we can save it. He said, yeah, it came down to that one game and that was it. So period. But he said there's been a lot of interest in that program. Listen, you're in a state with Auburn, Alabama. I get it. You can be a winning program. You can win 7-8 games, particularly in the AAC, which is having a great season this year. That is a pretty decent job. It's going to pay about $3 million a year, which is pretty good for that league. And on top of that, you're in a brand new stadium. You've got brand new outdoor facilities. There could be worse. Let me put it that way. So we'll see what happens. And hopefully they'll get a pretty decent coach. That's going to be interesting as well. I want to jump around the horn here. We kind of go game by game, and I want this time to go a little differently, because we usually run out of time on the games we really, really like, and there are so many great games. So let's go around the horn. We'll discuss a little bit. We'll start with you, Kip. Give me some games that are just really popping off the board. I know we already did our bankroll contest this weekend. You had three great plays, but tell me some games that you just really, really love going in to week 8 here of the college football season.
Well, I'm trying to emphasize and pay attention closely to what I know best, which is the Southeastern Conference. I've strayed out of the league the last couple of weeks, and I've got a bunch of goose eggs to show for it. So I'm really trying to stay down home. I do like a couple games out of conference, though. I think the Penn State collapse, they've hit the iceberg, and once the ship starts to sink, I don't see life rafts coming out to bail them out. I think that those games at Iowa, and we saw, now everybody's proclaimed Indiana the greatest team since some of the legendary galloping ghost teams of years past because of their win at Oregon. Oregon's best win, of course, was beating Penn State, which doesn't look so glamorous now. UCLA and Northwestern beat Penn State worse than Oregon did, taking them into overtime. So with that being said, I think the Penn State sinking to the bottom continues. I do like the Iowa Hawkeyes at home, who are always a pain in the backside in that stadium. They played Indiana tough earlier in the year there. So if Indiana's the greatest team since sliced bread, then Penn State's in big trouble in that game. I also, and you know, Tony, you and I are looking at games a little different this week, because I think USC will be competitive at Notre Dame. I really don't like their defense, of course, but I know they can score points, and Notre Dame just kind of been rolling along. I'm not ready to declare them a juggernaut yet either. So that's a couple games that I'm a little bit intrigued with at a conference. The only other one that got my attention, and I'm just being stubborn here, but can Texas Tech be this good, or is the Big 12 just that bad? They're on the road against Arizona State, the defending champion, a team that's shown some flashes of still having some talent, and Arizona State's a touchdown or more at home. So, Texas Tech will probably win by 20 again, but I'm a little intrigued by taking a home dog there as well. In the SEC, another place that you and I are in completely different places, Kentucky's a pain in the ass in Lexington. I'm sorry. They are. They always are. They play great defense. Yes, I know you're basing your opinion on that they can't score, but the one SEC game they played at home this year was against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. The final was 30-23. They had a lead and let it get away. Ole Miss beat them basically on the ground in that game. Texas, I'm not ready to proclaim they're back. You know, they're rolling now. They're the Texas that we thought was number one. It's another SEC road game. They didn't look very good at the Swamp a couple weeks ago. I think Mateer should not have played for Oklahoma. So they knock off the Sooners with a quarterback who can't grip the ball. They're on the road, and Kentucky is getting 12.5 at home. Give me an SEC home team with double digits, and I'll take those all the time. So I don't think Kentucky will win, but I think they can cover the 12.5. I also have the same inclination. You saw the effort that Arkansas gave for Petrino. You guys talked about it last week. I listened to the show. I just couldn't contribute because my microphone wasn't working. But I agreed that there was going to be a bump there. Arkansas's attention level and effort was going to be better. They played Tennessee tough in Knoxville, 34-31 final. Now they're back home. The last time they were there, they embarrassed themselves. Notre Dame just ran them out of the stadium. I think you're going to get the best effort that Arkansas can possibly muster. And I love Texas A&M. I told you guys before the year, this team has got a stockpile of guys back. Everybody loves Elko. I think he was the right hire. I'm not surprised at what they've done. I predicted they would beat Notre Dame earlier in the year, and they did up there in a classic game, one of the best games of the year so far in college football. But another road favorite, they're 7 or 7.5 at Arkansas, and I think they're going to get the best shot from the Razorbacks here. So I like that one a lot. The marquee games, I'm a little shaky on. I really don't know which way to go. On Alabama-Tennessee, I think that can be a close competitive game. And I do expect Georgia to get the job done at home, but a little bit leery of giving a touchdown to Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin's been practicing for Georgia for a couple weeks, and that was one of the reasons that they barely dodged the bullet last week against Washington State in a classic trap game. But I think Lane saw Alabama unleash the kitchen sink earlier this year at Athens, and I don't think we've seen anything compared to what he's going to do. There's no telling what kind of what they're going to break out as far as strategy in the first half of that game, as slow starting as Georgia's been all year. I bet Ole Miss throws everything at them to start the game, so that one's pretty intriguing. I wish I loved more games this week, but those are the ones that come to mind.
Just because you brought these up and you were talking about the Texas and the Notre Dame game, only because I've got them in another two-team parlay, which I hit, by the way, this past week. The reason I love Texas on this, and I certainly understand, you know, whenever you're giving up double digits points, Kentucky's defense sucks. They've given up 23 to Eastern Michigan. They gave up 18 to Toledo at home. So I think this is a game where Arch Manning and Texas can get their offense right, and they can do it at the Commonwealth of Kentucky. They also give up 35 to South Carolina. They give up 30 to Ole Miss. They give up 35 to Georgia. This all defense is not good. So I can see Texas easily putting up 24, 27 points easy. And I think with their defense only giving up an average of 10.6 points per ball game, I think that's the one thing that Sarkisian's hanging his entire season on is his defense right now. And we knew that going into the season. That's why I don't see Kentucky putting up more than 10 or 13 points in this game, and I don't think it's going to take that much for for Texas to get that cover. The Notre Dame game, I think, is really interesting in that that team's looking better and better and better. And if they don't have a top 12 team in the country, there's not a top 12 team. I mean, just based off their first two games, obviously they lost some squeakers. They're playing some unbelievable ball. They've only given up an average of 9 points a ball game their last four ball games. Another team that's really hiding in itself when it comes down to the defense. And USC, like Kip says, they haven't played anybody. They're scoring 54 points a ball game, but they're not playing anybody. They haven't played anybody. They're playing that West Coast type of football, and I don't think they've seen.
They're playing Big Ten teams, so I agree they're not playing anybody. Yeah. But Notre Dame hadn't exactly played a juggernaut in the last 3 or 4 weeks either.
It's
coming across country again, but then you also got two of their top three running backs are going to be out. Is what it looks like, and Jaden Mavie has been playing, you know, very well. But I agree. I mean, I think this is a game where, and I said it 2 weeks ago, and he let me down last week. I think it's a game where Jeremiah Love might get himself back, you know, below 5,000 to 1 to win the Heisman, and they get back down to like 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, right now Notre Dame's schedule 6th in the country. But that's based on who they played. So that's all I got to look at. So
well, they lost two of those games.
But they've been playing shitty teams. They're just not playing great teams. You can't play a great team every single week. No one's in Alabama where you're playing back to back to back to back.
Notre Dame's schedule is one of the best in the country. That's I don't see how you could say they haven't played.
I didn't say it wasn't. I said, Tony's talking about how well they're playing right now. These last 3 or 4 games, they haven't played anybody.
NC State and Boise State's probably a better 1-2 than almost anyone else has played.
I agree.
Well, who's played, in my opinion?
I agree. I mean, I do. And they blew the both of them out. I mean, so we'll see what happens. I mean, that's why we play the football game. They're only giving them nine.
Just like Notre Dame, I'm not dissing them. I just think USC's not being very respected here, getting 9.5 points. I think this is the last quality team that Notre Dame plays. And I think Lincoln Riley's got to make some kind of statement with his team. I just think they're going to show up. I think this is going to be a close game.
All right. Lincoln Riley's an idiot.
Naturally, this is striking a nerve with me because we talked Tuesday, but my biggest bet of the week's Notre Dame at a better price than this now. But we did see some USC money come back in the market today. You can still get Notre Dame like 9.5. I'm not even going to fence anyone. I love this Notre Dame team. Making a national championship bet right now, there's absolutely no way there's a better national championship bet than Notre Dame at 20-1. They're still Notre Dame. I think they're going to get in. And I mean, you look at the Texas A&M, I'm not going to make any friends in you guys' market. I think I said this on the starting laps. Texas A&M has been hands down the best team in the SEC to me. And Notre Dame, you play that game 100 times, Notre Dame wins like 80-90. I mean, it took the craziest set of circumstances for A&M to come back to win that game. Miami week 1, I think that performance has aged up pretty well, as good as Miami has looked. CJ Carr was not great in the first quarter. He really gained as it went on. I love that Kai's still beating the drum for the Jeremiah Love Heisman. I think it's probably gone. But I'll tell you, if there were Heisman odds up for next year, I would be unloading on CJ Carr. I think it's gone over Bill's heads how good this kid has looked week after week. I just love this Notre Dame team. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe USC will show up. I was high on USC this year. I have over win totals look like they're going to hit. They're even still in the Big Ten race. I think they might beat Oregon later in the year. But they've been bad on the road, and this defense has been a pretty big disappointment to me. I think that they made a kind of a leap last year under the radar that no one really noticed, because it still wasn't good, but it went from being like one of the worst in the Power 5 to kind of average. I thought this year with De'Anton Lynn, it would take another step, but if anything, it's stagnated, if not gotten worse. So I just I don't know. I made this Notre Dame number closer to like.
And I think my point too was I don't think USC has seen a defense even remotely close to what Notre Dame has to offer. And when you talk about their schedule, Missouri State, Georgia Southern, Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois, and Michigan, that's USC. So they have not played a Notre Dame type of defense coming in this game. And I did want to mention too, by the way, Kentucky 1-4 against the spread this year, despite the fact they're playing at the Commonwealth. They have not covered a game at home yet. So that's another reason why I'm kind of liking those Longhorns. So we'll see what happens. I mean, that's why we play the game. That's why I love the fact that we disagree on these things, and we'll see what happens. We'll see if we'll get after it. Kai, what's some of the games you really like you're popping out to you this weekend?
I talked about that first half tonight. Another game I like, I think Cal over their 27.5 point team total. Don't get me wrong, Cal is no juggernaut offense, but they're playing North Carolina, who's coming across country. So, I mean, I like that because I think the four of us could put up 28 on North Carolina.
Yeah, well, Bill Belichick's back from vacation. He's allowed to be refreshed.
You know, I think it's really interesting to look at LSU and Vandy and to know that Vandy's played 77 top 10 teams in their history. It's the first time they've ever been favored, ever. And I mean, it's just kind of crazy because LSU is not Charleston. They're not Virginia Tech or Georgia State or Utah State. Alabama put up 14 against Vandy put up 14 at Alabama. I think LSU's defense is better, but I don't have a play on the game. I just wanted to say that. You know, if I played this game, I would probably play Vandy at home, but I don't know why, because I think LSU's a better team. So anyway, there's some great line movements that really have me looking. I mean, we talked about the Texas Tech game at Arizona State. And I know it's because now they say Levitt's supposed to play. But it's moved from 11.5 to 7. Give me Texas Tech against just about anybody that's not SEC. I'll take them -7. I already hammered it today as soon as I saw that. You know, the Boise line jumps from 11.5 to 13. I've been 11 on UNLV all year. Now, UNLV's defense absolutely blows chunks. And Boise State, a better defense, they've been playing better. I just think UNLV can get inside that 13 number. I mean, I loved it. It's a play, you know, on starting lineup. Just like, you know, the Houston-Arizona game, that line's changed for me. And I like Houston against Arizona. And I think I might be one of the few people on earth since they're minus one, now they're plus one. The Clemson line, the movement there from 9.5 to 5.5 over SMU. That's a lot of money. I mean, how much money, Case, if they're not talking about injuries and stuff, has to come in for a line to move 4 points in 3 days?
Well, I didn't have time to look into it, but I heard there's some Cade Klubnik uncertainty. So I think this was a lot of injury movement as much as money. But yeah, typically a lot. And I'm sure SMU has taken a lot of money. I mean, well within the to move it that much. I mean, normally this early in the week, you got to talk about you probably got to have like a six figure liability on the other side. But I do think this is this seems like it's injury related.
Yeah, and Michigan dropped from 7 to 4.5 over Washington. I mean, there's some big things there. I love some team totals. Baylor's defense is not good. They're 110th, and you got TCU coming in as a 3-point favorite. I mean, I know it's at TCU, rivalry game to Texas schools, but, you know, sitting on 34.5. I mean, personally, I love that as well. Looking through some of these things, I still think Indiana's going to put up at least 40 against Michigan State, even in a game that's a letdown situation. Team total sitting at 39.5. Really interested to see that game. I do think Indiana's going to cover the 27 points, even though everybody's saying letdown game. Kirk Cignetti just signed an extension that might be, according to Paul Feinbaum, one of the most ridiculous things to ever happen, and blowing it up. I mean, what is he, 11 million a year plus after two seasons? I don't begin to understand that at all. But there's some games like there's a ton of team totals. Like I love Ohio State's team total also at Wisconsin.
It's called a great agent, my friend. The great agent, 8 years in Indiana. And I can guarantee you he will not be there in 8 years in Indiana. He will not be there.
64.
and assist to James Franklin for pumping that up.
No that, doubt. That's really no.
And guaranteed. Guaranteed no. If they don't fire him for cause for what, 93 million?
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk about coming from rags to riches. I mean, I don't know how much he was making in his last job before coming to Indiana, but I bet it wasn't more than 2 million.
It was at James Madison.
I actually saw yesterday it's 660,000 a year.
He's making 11.5.
That's pretty good jump.
Agent. I can only imagine what the buyout on that particular situation is. Hey, again, we're not talking about two, and we got to bring it up. Alabama, Tennessee, it's the third weekend in October. Always a huge ball game. Of course, Tennessee has not beaten the Crimson Tide of Bryant Denny since back in the early 2000s. They haven't been back-to-back games since 2003-2004. And Alabama only giving up 8.5 in this particular ball game at home. It's going to be just a raucous crowd coming up to a Saturday night, Case. What do you got on this old Rocky Top Alabama game going on here? Alabama's looking really good now, having won the last three games against top 25 competition.
I was kind of surprised, but I ended up a little bit on Alabama. I thought it should be closer to 10. I rate Tennessee's defense extremely poorly. I think a lot of people do. And I mean, the offense has been great, so I can't really take anything away from that perspective. But I've been against Tennessee like every week since the Georgia game. And I guess here we'll run it back again. I will say I thought I was surprised because I do think Alabama, and I've been Mr. Alabama, I have all kinds of Crimson Tide futures, but I think they've been pretty fortunate to win the last three games. I mean, you run those back. They don't look as good as now everyone's like, I mean, I heard, I think some prominent media members doing like a national championship draft earlier this week. And Alabama, they said it was like the clear second choice behind Ohio State. I don't think they're playing that well. I think sometimes we get swayed by the results. I don't think they should have won all three of those games. So I'm looking to sell Alabama at some point. But this week, ultimately, it just didn't get high enough. That line has really stuck. I think it was big. I saw Jam Miller ruled in. I think that's big as they seem like they can't run the ball without him. But I would expect Alabama to get a double-digit win here. Someone else is on the other side to keep the number here, but I thought it was a little short.
Ty Simpson responsible for 16 touchdowns, only one pick. That line is just... gosh, awful, crazy. I mean, 16-1 ratio is just fantastic. And I don't think a lot of people thought we'd see that number going into this third weekend in October. Let's go to the man that's wearing the smoky orange up there in the upper left-hand corner, Kai. I know you always like to play against your Tennessee squad. Are you doing it again this weekend?
I think we could solve a lot of problems if we would put Smokey in the White House. Mm-hmm. I do think that he'd probably be better for the country than just about anybody that these two parties elect. But yeah, people don't talk about the fact that Tennessee's defense is second in the country in sacks. Now I will tell you this, if they don't get to Ty Simpson, he will absolutely eat up our secondary. Tennessee's secondary, I mean, they keep bringing up Gerard McCoy's coming back. No, he's not. He was never coming back. He is sitting out. He is going to the NFL, smoking mirrors, and wouldn't play. I mean, and I don't blame him. I wouldn't play either. I mean, he's projected as a first-round pick, so why in the world would you do it? Which, it's crazy. Side note, Tennessee has four players right now projected to be first-round draft picks. It's been 20-something years since that's happened. In Knoxville, since they've even had the projections of that, which is crazy. You know, Tennessee's team total is 24. Alabama's is 34.5. If Tennessee gets to their team total of 24, then who knows? I would look at this with Tennessee's horrible defense. Arkansas, who put up 31, you know, Tennessee did jump out. I think Tennessee may play well early. Tennessee's going to have to get up early to have a shot. I mean, that's what they do. Josh Heupel plays very well early. The problem is, and I saw it last week at the game in Knoxville, the defensive schemes are horrible. Ty Simpson loves to throw those out and or over the middle of the field, and they run the screens like crazy that they run and drags. And Tennessee does not cover the flat well, and they do not cover the middle of the field well defensively.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there, too, when you're talking about Tennessee's secondary, and that's a great stat that they are second in college football in sacks. I think it all plays out right there. I mean, we've seen what Ty Simpson can do when he can pick you apart. And obviously with that secondary and what he's done with the 16 touchdowns is obviously going to be just super huge. Kip, you obviously all over the SEC. We got this guy named The Legend. In case you have never seen our show, The Starting Lineup, please do so. Go to Tony Curry Radio, the YouTube channel, or just go to The Starting Lineup YouTube channel. It's on ABC 3340 and go check him out because he goes crazy. We had DJ K-Dub on this week too, which was really, really entertaining. But they get into it, man. They're hoping that this could be it. If Alabama, and I totally agree with you, Case. You know, we look at what happened. You look with your eyeballs. I agree. I don't think Alabama's I don't think they've had their best game this year. I don't know if they've got a best game in them. I really don't. But I don't think that FSU loss is looking any better as the weeks go by either, because it's not a Seminole team we were hoping they were going to be. But I don't think we've seen the best team, and I think this is an opportunity for Alabama to show up and really look good against the Tennessee squad they obviously lost to last year. What do you think, Kip?
I think Alabama's succeeding because they've got a coach on the field playing quarterback named Ty Simpson, who's the son of a coach who understands exactly what they're trying to do schematically and executes flawlessly. I mean, the guy has been great. The precision, they've just carved defenses up. I think all the conclusions we've heard here about Alabama, of course, Legend's already declared Alabama's right now the number one team in the country. That's being seen through crimson colored glasses, because if you really are making an honest assessment of the game, you know, Alabama beating Georgia, Vanderbilt, and Missouri in a row, Case makes a great point. They could have easily lost one of those games if Kirby hadn't had a rush of testosterone and gone for a ridiculous situation on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal to tie it when everything was going his way. I think that would have been a different result. The Vanderbilt game, Pavia made two critical red zone mistakes that really kind of opened the door for Alabama to win that game. And the Missouri game was just pretty bizarre back and forth. But it was a game that easily could have gone either way. So Alabama is exuding lots of confidence now. But I think this Tennessee team is kind of tired of the label that they can't compete with their arch rival and this big game. Remember the old joke about and Tennessee did break the string last year or whatever, but the old joke about the guy who had the hound dog that howled all night and the neighbor who just moved to the neighborhood went next door and said, "What is with your dog, man?" He goes, "Oh, he does this every year when Tennessee doesn't meet beat Alabama. And he goes, well, what does he do when Tennessee wins? They said, don't know. He's only 14 years old. So the oldest joke in the book. But the bottom line is Tennessee's got to be sick and tired of it. And they, I'm sure Heupel and the Tennessee coaches have found some ways that they're going to be able to exploit the Alabama defense. I think this one can be a shootout. I really do. And in a shootout, who knows? You know, I would not be comfortable giving a lot of points in this game. Although Alabama, Bryant Denny kicks it up to another level, and maybe Tennessee's defense is just that bad. But as far as making a commitment to which side to go to, I really can't weigh in here, because I think it can be any kind of style game. But I think if it's a shootout, like I suspect, I think Tennessee has a good chance to cover this number.
Ty's been sacked 12 times last six games, four times in that Missouri game, 27-24. And Caden Proctor, I loved it after the game. He came up the left tackle, said that Simpson absolutely ripped our ass after that game. He said, listen, if you want to win, you want to win a championship,
coach on the field,
you guys have got to protect me better. He said, but he quote unquote ripped our ass up in the locker room after the win. So perhaps a little leadership skill too.
Trend, Tony, you make a great point. This offensive line has been pretty collectively every year out there. Well, we got all these guys back. It's the same guys that have given up like 70 sacks the last three. Ask Jalen Melroe how a good job they did to protect
him. You're spot on. And you know what? We said this before the game, before the second game of the year when they lost FSU. I don't see, when Alabama does not win, they don't have leadership. It just didn't seem like they have leadership. And if you got a quarterback right now going to his left tackle of the game saying, you need to protect me better and ripping his ass, maybe that's that leadership skill that everyone's been looking for from Simpson, because he's been kind of a quiet little guy, doesn't say a whole lot in the huddle, but he needs to get after it. Maybe that's the leadership they're looking for at Alabama. That could be the difference.
But after watching him, I'm convinced he is the real deal. I think Ty Simpson is not only skill, I don't think he's the greatest talent of all time, but I think the combination of his understanding of what they're trying to do schematically and his execution are supremely good.
Major League Baseball, NFL coming up here. My Bengals, huge win last night. That's hard to believe that Tomlin now is 0-7. Against the AFC North on Thursday nights. He cannot win games
War
against the AFC.
Guys.
I mean, unbelievable. 0-7. I saw that stat. I saw 0-6. I thought, no kidding. And I wanted to take those Bengals in the money line. I took them plus the 5 last night. They get an extraordinary win, 33-31. Needed every bit of that thing to get it done. We'll talk about that coming up in a few minutes. Another local game here. And of course, we do a lot of local stuff here. We do have the contingency. Of course, Kai's company covers the entire state of United States of America. We got a guy out in Las Vegas who's been out there forever. And of course, Case and works with Las Vegas Sun. But we did want to mention too, the Auburn Tigers and the Mizzou Fighting Tigers. Tiger will win this weekend, giving up 1.5 Missouri as Auburn's actually catching a little at home. I don't know what you say, and I heard you on the show yesterday. I thought it was great. I saw Cam Newton this morning, and I saw Paul Feinbaum this morning calling out the referees. I don't know what the hell we got to do with Greg Sankey.
Paul Feinbaum's running for Senate, so he's all over the referees and defending Auburn now.
He has switched gears.
He is not a broadcaster. He's a Senate candidate.
He's not kissing Tommy Tuberville's ass, that's for sure. But with that being said, I felt bad for Auburn. I'm not an Auburn fan, but I felt bad for them after that football game. Now they got to come home. They're 3-3. They should easily be 4-2. Could probably be 5-1. And now they're playing a Missouri squad that was undefeated until a couple of weeks ago. Case, what do you got on this ball game? What did you have it at?
I've got nothing, to be honest. I think Missouri's clearly been the better team. I like Missouri better, but as I'm sure Kip is dying to point out, they haven't played on the road yet, so I don't really know what you're going to get out of that. It's also just tough to project where Auburn's psyche is after, you know, all this hubbub. Sure. I think we all agreed last week. I mean, they got screwed, but they just totally melted after that. I mean, you can't let one play beat you. We hear coaches say that all the time, and it just I don't know. The team took on the personality of their coach and their leadership, and it seemed like they lost the game right then. So I don't really know what you're going to get out of them for there. I said I think on Tuesday Auburn was still a slight favorite, and I said I would have the slightest of leans to Missouri because I thought they should be a small favorite. Now Missouri's the small favorite. I really have no idea what to do. If I had to pick this game right now, I'd just flip a coin.
I wanted to ask Kai on this too, because I know you love looking at halftime lines. Can you tell me, or have you played any Georgia Bulldog second half lines this year? Because second half, they make some adjustments. They give up a goose egg to Alabama. I do want to say that I think Auburn takes on the allure of the culture of their coach, but I also think that the Georgia made made some great adjustments at halftime and shut them down the second half. But defensive wise, Georgia's got to have one of the best defenses in the second half this season. What have you seen?
Yeah, I've played Georgia in the second half a couple of times, and the other team total under. Auburn had one first down in the second half.
Yeah.
One. I mean, so I think they had 6-3 and outs. Now, part of that is because Jackson Arnold can't throw the damn ball, you know, so, I mean, you know, more than 10 yards downfield accurately. So that's part of it. This is one of those games where I just could not care less who wins the Auburn-Missouri game. I mean, I guess, my oldest son, the Marine, is an Auburn and Tennessee fan, so I guess I'll pull for Auburn for him. I've got a nephew that goes to Auburn, so I guess, but I'm not betting on it because, I mean, the best thing that could come out of it is Auburn loses and Hugh Freeze gets fired for Auburn.
That's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, he needs to go, and that's not. I have not Monday morning quarterbacked here. The day he was hired on our show on WJOX in Birmingham, we said this is a terrible hire. This guy has no integrity. He's only there because he beat Nick Saban 2 years in a row at Auburn. That's like the great shiny object, but he has proven to be everything we knew he was, and he's just not a good leader. The game's passed him by. Yeah, he was innovative a dozen years ago at Ole Miss, got in all kinds of trouble, did a lot of really questionable things character-wise at Liberty. Liberty has continued just as good in his departure. I just think Hugh Freeze is a terrible coach and is just a bad fit. And I can tell you, I was at the game last Saturday night in Jordan-Hare, my first visit there for a long time, with my co-host Terry Quillian from The Morning After. The atmosphere there is toxic. They are frustrated. They are fed up. And now, of course, the fix is in. They think everybody's against them. It's just a terrible culture at Auburn right now. So I would not be surprised. Missouri's first road trip after 3 months at home, if Missouri goes in there and takes advantage of that. But boy, this is a game that's I like the coin flip idea. That's the best way to handicap this game.
The best Auburn thing I've heard,
I want to give Alabama this year at Auburn, just for the record.
I want to give a hand clap to Kai for saying he could not care less who wins, because it's my pet peeve. Like 90% of people say I could care less, and that's not correct. So thank you, Kai, for getting that right.
My mom's an English teacher. My grandmother's an English teacher. We got to go that way. But I'm just telling you, it's on the record right now. It's like the 41 minute mark. Auburn's going to cover and beat Alabama in Auburn this year.
I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You did say, what is on Tuesday morning, that you like the Bengals to win outright against the Steelers on Thursday night, and they got it done. 33-31, we go to the National Football League, and some interesting ball games coming up this weekend. That was a great way to start. We got Rams, Jags, we got the Eagles. Can they bounce back after losing a couple ball games? The Vikings, of course, wins against the Bengals, the Bears, and the Browns, the BBBs. Are the Vikings for real? The Colts, you know, you've been all over the Colts. And then we got Washington Cowboys, always interesting. And of course, the game of the weekend, those Bills and those Lions, 5-1, taking on a 4-2 squad. We'll start with Case. What's going on in the National Football League? Some line movements. So what's been very interesting to you so far?
I haven't really looked at the market this morning, but obviously last night's game, I didn't watch a lot because I had I was covering the Golden Knights game, but it seemed like it was a fun one. Certainly awesome. Crushed the over. I think we almost doubled the over, especially some early lines. It was around 40, so that was fun. Should be another good week. I think probably the Monday Night Football doubleheader looks pretty good with Tampa going to Detroit. You kind of got to pick your poison in that game. It's two of the NFC favorites right now, but Tampa has no receivers left, basically, and Detroit has no defensive backs. Got cluster injuries in both those spots. Certainly, you saw that affect the Lions at the Chiefs last week. That being said, I feel like the Buccaneers have been pretty fortunate, and I kind of feel like this is the week it runs out. So to me, that might look like the biggest game on the schedule, and I have a strong lean towards the Lions. I bet -4.5. It's 5.5 now. That's not any real move, so I'd still be fine with the Lions. Looks like another fun week ahead, but I think that's probably the highlight game.
And I inadvertently said the Bills. It is the Bucs taking on those Lions. And Mayfield's having just a fantastic season for himself. And, of course, a lot of people think he's probably the MVP. It is fun, and you can say whatever you want about the Cowboys. And I know they're the made to butt of joke. That is one of those basketball. It's like the Lakers. Whenever they're on television, I have to watch. I mean, I don't care what their record is. I will always look. My eyes are always wandering towards the television whenever the Cowboys. And I know you're kind of like that too, Kip, because you love watching just all kinds of great football games. Your ideas on the Cowboys and the Washington. We can't call the Redskins on this show. We still go to the Redskins because it is what it is. We're not politically correct around here. What's your thoughts on that game, or do you have it?
I remember the Cowboys Redskins game when I was 7 years old in DC Stadium, Sonny Jurgensen out dueling Dandy Don Meredith. One of my first memories. So Cowboys Redskins always has been a special thing for me. I'm a lifelong Washington guy and have loathed the Cowboys every day of my life. So it's intriguing. I don't this the loss to the Bears was disgraceful. I try to embrace the Commanders, but it's just not like the old days. So I don't have much of an allegiance to this game. And the Cowboys just amaze me how inept the franchise is run. The Joneses are more concerned about banking lots of cash than winning championships. The whole Micah Parsons thing, completely absurd to start the season. But with all that being said, I'm intrigued. You know, the Colts saga, it amazes me. They're playing great. Daniel Jones has been amazing. But they're undefeated except at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. They lost to the Rams there in a game they should have won. Well, they're right back there again this week, and I think they're going to lose again at SoFi because I think the Chargers are due to kind of get their act together a little bit. They've been kind of up and down, more down. But I just keep waiting for this Colts team for midnight to strike and their coach to turn back into a pumpkin and the guy driving the wagon to be a rat. I just keep thinking the Colts are not going to keep this up. So I like the Chargers, and I just don't see the Eagles completely fall on their face for a third straight week. They're going into Minnesota. That line is very close. I know McCarthy's back and the Vikings have pieces, but I can't see the Eagles stumbling around and losing a third straight game after letting the one get away at home 2 weeks ago. And then the embarrassing performance on Thursday night against the Giants, if that team's not humiliated coming off that and doesn't take it out on the great Viking nation up north, I'm going to be surprised. I like the Eagles big in that game.
I love the Eagles in that game. I love them. And they're only giving up 1.5. Kai, you've been all over the Colts and you're nodding your head. What are your thoughts before we go to the Chiefs and the Raiders? What's your thoughts on the Colts? You've been all over them all year.
I'm not jumping off here, especially if I can get it at 3. I don't care where they're playing right now. Indiana Jones is just doing.
It's 1.5. It's 1.5. So you'd have quite the dip, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So drop. Okay.
Bold prediction. You're going to have a shot at a 3. I was on the fence of both these games Tuesday, but really positive Chargers injury news. Joe Alt and Khalil Mack both practiced yesterday. I think they're both going to be back. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't moved yet. I like the Chargers in this game. And I actually do like the Colts have done enough. I agree with Kai. I'm in on the Indiana Jones experiment. I think Shane Steichen's a great coach, great play caller. I think they probably do win the division. I'm pretty bullish on them long term, which is kind of crazy. But I look at this as a good spot for the Chargers to me. And I guess one last thing. So we were talking about these games. I'm all about hot takes or making these bold takes today with my Notre Dame love. And who do you guys think has been the best player in the NFL? Because to me, it is number one with the bullet, and no one is even close this season. And no one realizes it because their defense is so bad. Dak Prescott has been absolutely incredible. I mean, his number one receiver has been hurt. The Cowboys give up 40-some points a game, and his numbers are just off the page compared to everyone else. I bet some Dak Prescott MVP at 100-1 this week. Do I think it's going to win? No. Do I think it's better than 1 in 100? Yes. All that being said, I'm stuck with a bad number on Washington in this game. Washington had the injuries go the opposite way. It's like a lot of these guys aren't going to play. All their receivers are hurt, too. So I'd probably kind of lean Dallas there. I just, it makes the franchise look so much worse when you just can't field even a halfway competent defense. It doesn't really give them a chance to win. But I just think with the way Dak is playing, if they reel off a couple of wins here, He has underlying numbers. He has everything. He has been absolutely sensational this season. I feel like no one's given the guy any love because we love to hate on the Cowboys. But I guess we can be the one show to say, like, Dak, you just got to clap for it. He's been phenomenal.
He looks fantastic. I mean, he just looks really good.
Can we talk about the Mike Vrabel Revenge Bowl in Nashville Sunday?
Absolutely.
I have a feeling that Callahan was canned this week because the humiliation of seeing Vrabel come in and beat him by 35 would probably too much for them to bear. Kai's a Titan guy. I think Vrabel's had this one circled on the calendar. I think he can't wait to get to Nashville.
They're good.
Absolutely. I think so too. And let's be honest. I mean, the Titans are just not playing well. I mean, they have not been coached well. There's a horrible coaching hire in the first place with Callahan. But, I mean, if you're going to do anything in that game, you have to lay the 7, I think. I don't think it's a – I mean, I've seen some pundits or whatever you want to call people saying they think it's a get-right game for Tennessee.
No.
I don't. I think it's a great spot for New England, only laying 7. The weather's going to be just fine, no worries. It's not like it's going to be which I can't wait to watch because I love watching nasty, nasty, nasty weather games. That Miami-Cleveland game is supposed to be like 60-mile-per-hour winds and stuff.
Oh, lovely.
Drop to 37.
Just the can't mistake wait by the game. Lake.
Because what is Miami going to do? I mean, you're not – even your little 10-yard dinks aren't going to be great passes with 65-mile-per-hour winds. Getting with the Dallas, I do love Dallas to get over their team total of 27. In that game. And I really think a sneaky game that nobody's thinking about that I think the public is all on one side that is going to be a great spot is Denver -7. The Giants traveling out there with the Giants having Philadelphia again next week in a divisional rivalry game. I really think Denver can lay the wood there. And I also, even with no receivers, love Tampa Bay over their team total at Detroit sitting on 23.5.
He's a team total guy, and he's been on fire, so follow it up. K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. We give you team totals, all kinds of great stuff there. K4Wins.com. By the way, your Tennessee Titans, 1-5. Overall, 1-5 against the spread this year. So another reason perhaps you should take the Pats -7 this weekend. We've got it right there in the back seat of every doggone car that pulls in the parking lot of the Las Vegas Raiders facility, and he is Case Kiefer. He writes, of course, the Las Vegas Sun, does fantastic work, and now here's his team catching 11.5 against the Chiefs this weekend. What do you see from your Raiders? Can they get inside that big number? That's a huge number, particularly against a team that does not seem to cover the spread very much anymore, and that being the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I got to detach myself. Definitely not my Raiders. I just cover them. And I don't care.
Come on now. Have some love, baby. Have some love. You live right there. You can walk. Any truth that you bought that house just to be closer to your football team?
Yeah. And Mark Davis has given him a piece of the team. He just doesn't like to admit that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Unbiased party. But it looks a little high to me, to be honest. I think that, you know, I might have mentioned this Tuesday, but it feels like we've just jumped from extreme to extreme with the Chiefs. They lose a couple games at the beginning of the year. At least one or both of them really close, and all of a sudden they're done, the dynasty's over. Then they win a couple, it's like, oh my god, they're back, they're winning the Super Bowl. I think the truth's somewhere in between. I do think Rashee Rice coming back is a gigantic uptick, but I don't necessarily know if he's going to be himself in week one. I mean, when you're suspended, you can't be around the facility, you can't be around the trainers. Like, there's no way he's going to be in football shape, I think, right here going out. I think long term he's going to make a huge difference. Even though this is a great matchup because the Raiders are pretty bad in the secondary, I don't necessarily know if he's just going to hit the ground running. I made this like 10, so I think anything above that you have to go with the Raiders. So the Raiders have some injury concerns. I mean, their left tackle's out, who is their only good offensive lineman. Honestly, Brock Bowers probably not going to play again. So it's hard to have too much confidence in the Raiders right now, but just strictly numbers-wise, it does look a little bit high to me.
All right, there you go, 11.5. When you're talking about the National Football League, and again, you can call our line. You can get there and get after it at K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. See us at K4 Winners on the X format, of course, on our YouTube page. We're on Instagram. We're also on Facebook, on all social media platforms. And we're going to get after it here as we get ready for another week of great college and professional football. any way the Milwaukee Brewers can save their season now 3-0. By the way, I absolutely love. No. Yeah. By the way, I absolutely love. I want to bring up the Max Scherzer not coming out of the ballgame was just an absolute fantastic piece. I would have loved to have been on terrestrial radio just to talk about that because it was just such a beautiful thing. So I'm not coming out of the game. And for the manager to say, I thought he was going to kill me. He's like, no, I'm letting him go. And a lot of people are giving the manager shit for not taking him out. He's like, you don't understand it. Do you see his eyes? They're like, no, you're staying in. And of course he throws that pitch that looked like it broke about 87 feet across the plate and struck the guy out. It was fantastic. Anyway, so the Dodgers, Milwaukee Brewers case pretty much done.
I think we're probably all in agreement. There's the Brewers aren't coming back. Who are they? Who are they even? I haven't even seen who they're. I don't know who they have left to pitch anymore.
Yeah.
I think this is.
Mazurowski did great out of the bullpen yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. But that was kind of the last card they had to play, and they played it as well as they could, and they still couldn't score enough. So I think this one's done.
All right. Anybody else got anything on those games?
It still says undecided for tonight here and. But if they're going to win a game, tonight would be the game against Otani, just because he who knows how long he goes. But, I mean, if you're the Dodgers, you need to go ahead and win this game because think about the rest you're going to get where the other game's tied 2-2. And let's be honest, just whoever's on the road is going to win this game. As great as Seattle looked in the first two games, they looked the exact opposite the last two games. And as bad as Toronto looked the first two games, they looked the exact opposite when they went on the road. Makes no sense. I think I saw something that's like the first time in, I don't know, 50 years or however long since we've had this going that the road team has won the first four games.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
Let's just cut to the chase here. The Dodgers payroll is just so absurd, and they've gotten away with it by deferring money like 50 years down the line. And
their luxury tax is higher than the Milwaukee Brewers payroll.
They're the new Yankees. They buy championships. It's what the Yankees did in the entire 1900s. And the Yankees are so upset that the Dodgers are doing it now and doing it better and picking.
And they make a mockery. I mean, they just mailed it in all season. At times they were losing games, losing 3 out of 4 and we're not even that much over 500. But with that kind of payroll and all that stockpile, the pitching depth they have is just ridiculous. Absurd.
That's Ohtani batting 112 too, by the way. I mean, where has he been? Yeah, he didn't show up.
Yeah, what if he wasn't slumping that?
Jeez Louise, man.
Yeah, he leads off the game, I guess, with a triple last night and announces that he might be still have a pulse. But this was a foregone conclusion. I didn't think we'd see Yankees-Dodgers because the Yankees pitching finally caught up to them, which I figured at watching them during the year that they didn't have the arms. But the Dodgers have an embarrassment of arms. And it's just unbelievable the talent they've stockpiled. And it kind of makes, again, I think baseball's going to have to take a hard look at this because, it shouldn't come down to the team that spends the most money. But in this case, other times you always, does anybody think the Blue Jays Mariners survivor has any chance in a series against the Dodgers? I say zero.
I think they got a chance.
Yeah, I think they have a shot.
I think they have a better chance than the Brewers. I'm still certainly picking the Dodgers. I think right now, as currently constructed, I think that the Brewers getting so hot for that couple months of the season kind of made I think lulled people into a false sense of security that they had a chance. They're just not the same team right now with the injuries, with the pitching, and just never having any power. So I do think the World Series could be a little more competitive. But hopefully a lot of what you're saying. We said all year on this show, I can remember multiple times I said that, and I wish I would have bet more on it, but the Dodgers were just a huge, huge opportunity. We should have made way more money in the futures market, even if they don't win the World Series now to win the NL. I mean, they were clearly kind of doing like the NBA load managing through the season.
Yeah.
They were holding these guys out longer when they had injuries. They were gearing up for the playoffs the whole time. So the fact that their odds drifted up so much was just ridiculous. I wish I do have futures on them, but I wish I would have taken better advantage.
By the way, go ahead. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I had a little birdie in my ear on Tuesday night. I went down to the BJCC, which they just redid. They're going to have the AAC basketball tournament down there this year. They got some more regional coming up in the March Madness coming up next season, stuff like that. Doing all kinds of wonderful things down there. But there was a very small select group of investors who came in town on Tuesday to see if Birmingham would be a good expansion city for the NBA. Now, we've got this squadron spot that goes down there that obviously plays down there. We put on a hell of a show. I just want to applaud Birmingham. I wish the people, more people knew about it. It was not even close to a sellout, and it probably should have been. The Pelicans,
they might want to publicize things like
And again,
I live here and I didn't know about it till you told me on that day you were going to be the PA guy.
Well, and it was going through the New Orleans Pelicans, so that should tell you something. And it's also going through the squadron budget, which they don't have squat. But I will say this, it was a hell of a show. It came down to the last shot. It could have been a buzzer beater. I think it was 128-125 was the final score. It was just a lot of fun to see. I've been to Memphis enough times to see, and you could tell the NBA actually brought their package in town and basically said, give us the BJCC and let us do it our way, because there was music throughout the entire game. I know you hate that, Kip, but man, it was rousing. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. I'll be the first one to stand in line for season tickets if, in fact, it ever does come to Birmingham. I know they've been talking about there for a long period of time. We do support sports this time. The only issue is most of the time the sports fall apart before we can actually get on board. That goes to the Stallions.
I haven't been in there since the renovation.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Really?
It's
NBA quality arena?
It is. It is. It's fantastic.
That shocks me. I'd have to see that to believe it.
It's fantastic.
I agree.
Go down.
What, 15,000?
It's 18. I think they expanded.
I mean, why would you consider Birmingham over somebody like Vegas?
It's all about money. Well, it's all about money, my friend. I
mean, Vegas is happening. They're going to get a team. It's just the arena thing surprised me, because apparently the holdup in Vegas is they want their own arena. I mean, we have world-class arena at T-Mobile Arena, and apparently the NBA doesn't want to use that for their big events, but they want the team to have their own. And T-Mobile's cost, I don't remember the price tag now, probably $400 million, sits 18,000, and basically the NBA is like, no, we want our own. So but I still think that the next two cities, I mean, it's a huge favorite. The next two cities will be Vegas and Seattle. No offense to Birmingham, I'd love it to happen, but those are the favorites right now.
All we want to do is be in the discussion. That's all. I mean, just be in the discussion. We talk about
support it. Yeah. I mean, we've supported about as well as we do the Stallions. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, it's just like the reason why we were never going to get an NFL team, because it's a college town. And even Birmingham is still a college town. More people are going to go to UAB games than are going to go to a Birmingham NBA thing.
All right,
And the big corporations like Precision Staffing needs to step up and kick in the cash to make it
go.
Happen.
There you go. Put some SBS behind that. Put some SBS money behind that bad boy and bring it to town, man. I'm sure you'd have a box, though. You would have a box You'd have a box if we had the Birmingham. What would they be called? The Birmingham what? And we can do that for a further show. K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com.
Like the Utah Hockey Club. Good grief. Is that not the worst nickname of all? The Mammoth.
The Mammoth.
I mean, that strikes fear in your heart. Wasn't that like a big ugly ass elephant in the dinosaur?
It was a big ass elephant. Very scary, too. K4Wins.com. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Go Mammoth!
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.